Come, let us go to the mountain of God, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Amen. Well, I was wondering if you remembered all the way back to the first lesson this morning. It is about the martyrdom of Stephen. All through the Easter seasons, our first lessons are from the book of Acts rather than from the Old Testament, giving us a history of the life of the early church. And Stephen was just chosen to be one of the first deacons in the early church. In fact, our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers are also reading about Stephen this weekend as well. But they are reading a chapter ahead of us, or maybe behind us, I guess. One chapter earlier, when he and those six other deacons were chosen and ordained. To really understand what is happening in today's first lesson, we really need both the Roman text and our Lutheran text as well, plus everything in between, and there is a lot of it because Stephen has a whole sermon in there. In just a couple of days, it will be Pentecost when we celebrate the Festival of the Holy Spirit. You may recall that on the first Pentecost, some 3,000 people were added to the fellowship of Jesus' followers that day. Well, you can imagine that with such a large following, the work of the church became quite a burden. So the disciples added 7 new deacons, ministers of word and service, to continue and help along with the job of caring for those new followers. And Stephen was one of these new ministers, and his job, along with those others, was to take care of the meals for the new believers. Remember that the early church shared in common a purse, as had Jesus, the disciples. The strain of feeding everyone each day and making sure everyone got fair portions was quite a stretch, and the deacons were the ones who saw to it that everyone got their fair share, while the disciples could continue to teach the gospel. But the task was not only about waiting tables, because it was also the task of deacon was also about sharing the good news of the gospel while doing that daily work. The deacons weren't from those new 3,000 converts, but were disciples who had followed Jesus for a little while now. So Stephen was not only a good worker, but an articulate spokesperson who had a knack not only for the work, but also for the gospel. And it seems that the Spirit was with him not only what he did, but also what he said. And speaking up for Jesus was what got him into trouble. One day, some of the authorities came to where he was and started critiquing his word and message. Stephen gave them a summary of the whole Bible. That's what the word martyr infers. A martyr is literally a witness, and that's what the word means. Martyrs were not revered for their death, you see, but rather for their telling, their witness about Christ. So after the lecture on Bible history, Stephen pointed out to these Bible scholars where they were going wrong, which of course only made his critics more angry. Moreover, he compared them to the Israelites in the First Testament who had ignored God's message. And that's where today's text begins. The verse previous to our text says, "They became enraged at him and gnashed him with their teeth," or gnashed at him with their teeth. Since all this takes place after Pentecost, Jesus had already ascended. So in today's first lesson, Stephen looks into heaven and has a vision of Jesus standing at the powerful side of God. When he reveals this vision to his critics, they will have none of it, and they cry out even louder against him, all the while covering their ears to block out whatever they can of his witness. They want no more of this testimony. So they rush at him and drag him out of the holy city of Jerusalem that they might stone him to death. Stephen never seems to take his eyes off Jesus, but prays this morning's psalm. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. As the stones hit upon him, he fell to his knees and prayed for his assassins. do not hold this sin against them. And with that, he fell asleep. This story becomes a source paradigm for all the stories of all the workers and all the witnesses, all the martyrs of the church. Faithful people who put their trust firmly in Christ in spite of the consequences of doing so. The pattern will repeat itself again and again throughout history, even into our own time. Brave and confident Christians look to Jesus as the source of their strength, and they place their trust in him no matter what the cost to their personal welfare. This is the vision of Jesus in today's gospel as well. Jesus tells the disciples they can trust him to carry them through the dangers of this world and into the Father's house. And here's an important note. Jesus addresses the disciples in the plural. We don't each get our own room in the Father's house, but rather the place that is prepared for us is more like a dorm or a barracks. Jesus goes to prepare a place for all God's people together. That's how John sees it. So, when we read 1 Peter, Jesus is building us into a spiritual house of living stones, one against another, all held in place by Jesus, the one precious and chosen stone in whom we can put our complete confidence. The steadfast trustworthiness of Jesus is our confident hope in today's text. Our gospel tells us he is our way, our truth, and our life in God. Acts reminds us Christ is the hope of all those in danger. And 1 Peter prompts us that Jesus' Spirit is shaping our lives together into a spiritual edifice. While the psalm declares to us that God's timing is impeccable, as it always carries us with God's steadfast love. Those who embrace Christ embrace God. Christ, whose vision gave Stephen his confident trust, is also here today for us, coming to us in our assembly with his Spirit, nourishing our faith with the bread of heaven, and quenching our thirst through the cup of salvation. Our message is clear in all of the lessons. Trust in this one called Jesus. His loving kindness is your rock of refuge, a mighty fortress to save you. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.